I don't know if you're paying attention to your calendar or not, but we have 43 days until Christmas. Somehow the year just flies by, right? And so some of you are already thinking, you're like, wow, what is the greatest gift that I can come up with that I can give someone else? Or some of you might be thinking the other side of it and going, as I'm making my Christmas list, what is the greatest gift that someone else could give me, right? And yet as we enter into these next few weeks, we're looking at Rethink Christmas. What is it that we as a church need to rethink about the greatness of our God and what it means to have kingdom greatness? Well, if some of you are in that shopping season and you need some ideas from last season, here are the top five useless gifts of 2022. So the number five is the LED toilet light. Maybe some of you received one of these, but I'm just saying, put a nightlight in your bathroom, but who needs the toilet that's glowing and then you just, it's just wrong, right? Or it's this number four, which for that person in your life, when you say, what would you like for Christmas? And they say, nothing, nothing, nothing at all. You give them the jar of nothing. It's zilch, nada, not a thing. They can set it on a shelf. You've done your job. They've gotten what they've asked for, right? Nothing. Or for some of you that have young children and are still in that season of pizza rolls and pizza and on the couch and all of those messes, this next one is the pizza blanket. It is advertised. You only have to wash it once a month because it hides all the stains. Protects your furniture. It's marketing at its finest. Or the number two, for those of you who love ice cream, specifically Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Now, they have manufactured this wonderful ice cream lock. $25. You can put the code on it. You can put it in the freezer, and it is all yours. And the number one useless gift for 2022 is this, the cat tissue holder. And I don't even need to say anything. That's just wrong. But in all seriousness, why do we rethink? Why do we cut back because of the opportunity that we have to give to the one who matters most? And how are we deceived, even as a church at times, to fall into the culture that we live in? Joshua Becker, he is a minimalist podcaster, and he gives us these statistics. 28% of shoppers entering into this season's shopping season for Christmas are still paying off bills from last Christmas. 28%. 50% of shoppers overspend their budget or they don't even create a budget, which gets them into trouble for paying off that debt from last year. It is estimated that $16 billion was wasted last year on unwanted gifts in America. $16 billion. I just try to wrap my head around that. And out of those, 20% of those gifts are never even used. Some of them never opened. And it should give us cause to rethink, right? Because the current approach is not working. The current approach doesn't truly bring joy to the season. The current approach, in some ways, doesn't give us freedom, but rather, when we think we're doing something great, it honestly is something insignificant and not having the influence that we would like it to have. So rethink is not just adding another gift to the people that you're giving gifts to. Rethink, as a church, sometimes we can do this time and time again, year after year, and then we get in this habit of just adding one more thing because it's the right thing to do. But rethink is cutting back. And in our cutting back, we are giving a gift that has eternal significance, kingdom impact, and we communicate that to the people that we give gifts to. And so it teaches us and it teaches them and it advances the kingdom of God. So for this year, as a church, we're looking at Operation Christmas Child. We have a goal of 500 boxes that will be put together from Madison Park community that will go to those children around the world in underprivileged circumstances, and that there will be a message that's also included in that gift. As of this week, there were 407 boxes that have left the building, so to speak. After first hour, I don't know where the stack is in our west lobby, but our prayer is that we meet that goal of 500. There's an opportunity for us to understand what this rethink is by Kids Packs. In our community, we started years ago partnering with Kids Packs of providing meals for students who otherwise wouldn't have food on the weekends. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with Sarah Stevens, and she said that Kids Packs now has increased just over 200 students, even within the last year. So we are now packing out 1,300 Kids Packs per week for students in our community that otherwise wouldn't have food on the weekend. They've partnered with Horizons. We'll hear more about that. But it's an opportunity for us to set a goal of $25,000 that will help provide food for children. And the final one, $15,000 to replenish the scholarship fund for our own student ministries, for no child, no student will be left. But each child, each student will have that opportunity to join us on our 2024 summer camp and conference experiences. We rethink and we refocus and we think, what is the greatest gift? Well, in Matthew chapter 18, it's the text that we're going to look at today. We're going to highlight Operation Christmas Child, and all of these things that I have mentioned, you can go to entrance D in our building and you can find out a lot more information on those. But let's anchor into the Word of God and what He would teach us about kingdom greatness. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, these disciples that have traveled with Jesus, they're still arguing amongst themselves of who's the greatest. And it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. And he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Weighty words that Jesus is giving to the disciples, because the disciples are still struggling to comprehend what kingdom greatness is all about. We see it time and time again. These disciples who traveled with Jesus, who witnessed his miracles, who watched his humility of posture, who watched him demonstrate what it was to have kingdom greatness, and yet they still argued amongst themselves of what is greatness? Who's the greatest among us? And in Mark chapter 9, it reinforces once again this idea of greatness that the disciples must have struggled with constantly, even as they traveled with Jesus. It says in Mark 9, "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent." Have you ever walked into that conversation with people and all of a sudden everything just goes silent? And you know they're talking about something. Sometimes it's talking about you, but it just goes silent. Well, Jesus, he already knows what they were talking about. It says, "But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant of all.' And what does Jesus do? And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So we live in a world where children, oftentimes, they are to be seen and not heard, right? We live in a world where oftentimes children are the distraction and the disruption. And Jesus, time and time again, pulls the innocence of a child and he puts it in front of his disciples and the other people. And he says, if you want to understand kingdom greatness, then become like this. And as adults, we wrap our head around that and we think of the culture and all the influences that we live in. And we wrestle with greatness and the struggle and the humility of posture that's involved with that. And yet in our text today, in verse 1, the disciples asking Jesus again, the scripture says, they've asked him before, but they're like, who is the greatest? And he gives them the answer in verse 3. And there's three words there that I would encourage you to highlight or underline or circle. Unless you turn. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, unless you turn. You see, that's the gospel message, right? Unless each one of us has turned, has surrendered ourselves to his leadership, to his supremacy in our lives, we will never understand the posture of humility and surrender and then allegiance to the king. And so he's reminding them again that unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So this misguided idea of greatness that the disciples has somehow can creep in even in our lives at times, and we get misguided by what kingdom greatness is all about. But I think there are four characteristics of childlike greatness, four simple characteristics of childlike greatness that if we applied these into our lives, we would just look and behave a lot differently. First, children, they just seem to have an innocence about them. Absence of a calloused conscience. They're trusting. They are naive. We often have to teach them who not to trust and how to protect themselves, right? But trust is just part of a child. And so can we just put that quality into our life? The second is that children have an ability to wonder. Their curiosity. And before adulthood steals away that curiosity, children are full of questions. It's been a couple of weeks, and my grandchildren were in the backyard with me, and we were playing, and we were doing some other things, and my grandson Lincoln goes, Papa, can I ask you a question? I said, absolutely, ask me a question. And followed by that question, he said, Papa, can I ask you another question? I said, Lincoln, you can ask me a question anytime. And probably after 9 or 10 questions, we went back to doing what we were doing. And it's the reality of children. They have questions and wonder. And I'm reminded now as a grandparent that, wow, I didn't probably take that time with my own children, that now I have an opportunity to take with my grandchildren. And our Father in heaven is just saying, I want you to wonder. I want you to come to me with questions. I want to spend time with you. And just to be with. The third that we can learn from children is that children truly forgive. Even though they're treated harshly, often ignored, occasionally even abused, children have an amazing ability to let love overshadow that hindrance upon them and those insults. They're resilient. So what happens when we as adults, we become more resilient and we forgive one another and we treat each other a little bit differently? And when insult happens, we overlook that. And we take on the attribute and characteristic of a child. Or the last one, children are just who they are. They are real and they are often hilarious. When you're having a really bad day, just put yourself with a child. And you will be laughing before very long because they're just real. They're genuine. They're who they are. And we encourage them to discover God's unique design of how he has wired them to be. And somehow we grow into adulthood and we forget that God has wired each one of us and given each one of us our unique design of who he wants us to be and to become in him. So let's do this. Let's add trust to our list. Let's add wonder to our list. Let's be resilient in how we respond with each other, and let's be genuine. Because that's what kingdom greatness is about. So what does it require of us? If we're going to put on these characteristics, what does it require of us? It requires of us to rethink and to do it a little bit differently. To prioritize the teaching of greatness. And today, we highlight Operation Christmas Child. We live in a world that there is war, and there will always be war and rumors of war. I am confident you watch on your news feeds and you see what's happening in Israel. You remember what continues to happen in the Ukraine. There are constant other wars that are affecting millions of people's lives. But today, for the next 3 minutes, I want to take you to the Ukraine and to Poland, and I want you to see the impact of what Operation Christmas Child did in the lives of children. Let's take a look.
My prayer for those children is that they would understand love, love of God. And from there, everything changes.
І жила до війни в місті Краматорськ Донецької області. Я працювала учителем живописи в художественной школе. Война началась неожиданно. А через 2 дня нам предложили работать волонтерами на железнодорожном вокзале, чтобы помогать эвакуировать детей. Каждый день с 7 утра и до комендантского часа мы успевали посадить 5-6 эвакуационных поездов. Это было где-то от 500 до 800 человек в день. И мы этим занимались 1.5 месяца, пока произошла трагедия, и в район вокзала прилетела ракета. Ну, Бог нас не оставил. Молюсь, Господи, уповаю на Тебя. Дай мне силы, терпения, мудрости и смирения на этот день, да. В Польшу мы приехали на Пасху. Пали сюда 17 мая.
This was a new-built hotel that before official start gave the rooms to welcome refugees. Today, they had the distribution of the boxes. They also had a greatest journey lesson. God has done something very special for them.
Я надеюсь, что эти духовные занятия, которые с ними проводят люди верующие и церковь, и ваша в том числе, они помогут им вырасти хорошими людьми, духовными людьми. Моя главная мечта, чтобы жизнь у моего ребенка сложилась более удачно, более счастливой. Надеюсь, что дети оценят это внимание, эти подарки и то, что с ними стараются заниматься.
We see the magnificent hand of God in these boxes. We hope that the message will bring healing.
So So war and its effects are real, right? But did you hear what Elena said? Give me strength, patience, and humility for this day. What if each morning when we woke up, we simply said, God, would you give me strength, humility, patience for this day? That we would realize that Jesus has taught us that take today as it comes to you because each day has enough cares or anxiety or worries of its own. And to understand kingdom greatness means that we begin to impact the lives of those who perhaps we have it within our means to provide something for. And it's not just simply a Christmas gift, but it's the message of the gospel that goes with it. Are we ready for Jesus to turn our life around? Are we really ready to look at verse 3 that says, unless you turn, that I do it differently this year? Because if I really want to do something that has a lasting impact, then it's going to be different than what the world teaches. And let's look again at verses 5 and 6. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So what happens if this year for Rethink, we literally rethink and we cut back, and as we cut back, we write a card, and instead of the gift, in that card we write and we explain, this year in your honor, a box is being sent to a child in another place in our world, and in that box, it is our prayer that they will understand who Jesus is. Or what if you, in that card, you write, in honor of you, this year there our children who are in our community that are hungry on the weekend, that are now having food. Or it's in that card, in honor of you, there will be students who will have an opportunity to go to camp next summer and experience the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to go. Unless we turn, unless we go against the culture, we will never understand what greatness is in the kingdom of heaven. Dr. Dave Curry says, if you want to have an investment in children, if you want to make a difference in children's lives, then love children like Jesus did. And here's his list. It is so simple. Give your time. That's your undivided attention. They're never an interruption. Just be with them. Give children your time. It's an opportunity through mentoring. It's an opportunity through investing in your own children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whoever it might be. Give them your time. Change your tone. Been there? Welcome them warmly. Engage them in conversation. No guilt, no rejection. Change your tone. Soften your touch. Hold them, hug them, tickle them. Have you been there when you've just had a really bad day and all of a sudden you just get that hug from a child and there's just something therapeutic in that and just healing and it brings back life? Or you tickle and all of a sudden you find yourself involved in the same belly laugh that they're having and you go, wow, this is the wonder. This is the genuine part that God wants us to be part of in kingdom greatness. Change your talk. Encourage them. Love them. Affirm them. Constantly tell them those words, they are loved, and that you love them over and over again because they can never hear it enough. display your own trust in God. Pray with them and pray for them daily. Whether you need to put a reminder on your phone or on your calendar, choose those children that you will commit to praying for daily and start praying for them. Display to them your trust in God, because you know what? We can't control the situation or the circumstances for those children, but we know the one who can. And so we give them back to him. Watch your tracks. Children are watching you. So let your life path be clear. Be intentional in your steps and be the example that God wants you to be, because likely others are following you. You see, today's message is quite simple. And yet I find Jesus having to repeat this time and time again about kingdom greatness and elevating the child. We're looking at the text in Matthew 18, but again in Matthew 19, it's going to show up again. It just teaches us as people that we can get misguided and distracted. And in Matthew 19, Jesus says the simple phrase, he says, "Let the children come. Don't push them away. Let the children come." And he gives this quote, not just here in Matthew 19, but we're going to find it again in Mark chapter 10. We're going to see it in Luke 18, where time and time again, he elevates the child and he says, "Let the children come." And then he follows it with a specific teaching all three times. And it's the teaching of the rich young ruler. And it's the young man who knew the law, who did the checklist, who did everything right, and yet comes to Jesus, and he basically says, "Jesus, I still have this void. I'm still empty. What do I have to do to understand kingdom greatness, to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus tells him, "Go, sell it, because your possessions are possessing you. Go sell it and give to the poor. And you will understand kingdom greatness." And each time, that young ruler went away filled with sorrow. And the scripture says, because he had great wealth. He had it within his means to rethink, to turn, to change his own direction. Some of us today, we have it within our means to turn, to change our direction, to rethink how we might impact the life of a child, that we might be a group of people that say, "Let the children come." Because in these children is the future of the church for generations to come. Let the children come, and let's not be misguided by what our world teaches us and swallow the lie. Remember, some of those statistics I hope are still mulling around up there in your mind. 28% of shoppers entering into this holiday season are still paying off debt from last season. Change it if that's you. 50% of shoppers, they overspend. Change it if it's you. Wrap your head around $16 billion of wasted money on unused gifts. $16 billion. Think of what we could do as the church to just make a little bit of a thumbprint for the gospel. Change if that's you. Because our current approach is not working. But together, we can teach and we can make a difference. And we can elevate kingdom greatness. Because whoever receives one of these little children receives Jesus. And the Father, who has demonstrated his love for us and sent his Son as a baby to grow up as a child, it is the greatest gift of all, and that is what Christmas is all about. So in just a little bit, there is going to be a prayer up on the screen. And I could flash it up there now, and I could ask you to recite this prayer with me, but you'd be reciting something that you haven't even processed or pondered yet. And our prayer today is that you will just take a moment to sit in this prayer, to read it, to pray it, and then corporately, given an opportunity to pray it together, so that we might be a church that is all about kingdom greatness.